Hey, hello world. I'm recording this intro on my iPhone instead of my regular fancy mic because I don't want to delay this any further. I just really want to get this out. The guest in today's podcast is one of my closest friends. We went to 1 year of art high school together and we stayed in touch ever since. He is currently an aspiring actor and I have a strong feeling that he might just surprise all of us one day because he's putting in an undeniable amount of work and passion into his acting. And to hear more about his journey, here's a podcast. Yo, what up, big boy?
Not much, my man. How are you? Long time.
Good, man. Yeah, it's been is it close to a year since we last saw each other?
Yeah. A lot is going on, man. It's just like a pandemic, obviously, all that. But it was weird. It was like, I mean, you know, I'm doing the scene study, all that stuff. We started the new winter semester in January. That lasted till March. And then right at, like, my last class was literally that weekend where everything shut down.
Mm.
Friday, right before all that. So that class was really great. Had, like, a big breakthrough. There wasn't that many people because everybody was scared. A few people were there, and I was able to do stuff. And then that whole thing started. So then, like, a couple of weeks later, I figured they were going to, because I had already signed up for my new classes and everything. It was the spring semester. I was going to take, like, a movement class and all that, which I needed to work on. And I figured they were just going to refund everything. And we got an email saying, oh, we're going to move it on to Zoom. And initially, I was like, what the f***? Like, how is this possible? Honestly, I was kind of pissed. But my initial reaction was, I don't want to do this. Like, why? How am I going to act on Zoom? But it was like, at the same time, it was like, what else do I got? Like, what else am I going to do? So it was kind of like a mixture of, I don't want to do this because I don't think it's possible. And then it like puts you in that thing where this is like the one thing I love doing. So it makes you feel like because you're not going to do it. So I ended up doing it. We had like a test run early on with a bunch of teachers and I got picked to do like a scene. And it was kind of like this. It was weird because it was pretty instant that you realize that you actually can connect with somebody like this. And that was something that I actually had to work on. That was like the big breakthrough right before the pandemic started, where I started connecting more with my partner. So then this actually helped out a lot. So we started doing it in the spring up until now, you know, keep building and building on the skill and all that. I'm hoping maybe at least two more, at least on Zoom, and then we could just head back. I'm hoping.
That's crazy. You think the school actually cares or they don't want to lose their money?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That was another thing too. It was like, I was expecting to get the refund back and like all these things, but there's actually like a lot of my partners this like in the summertime were Asian and we have a lot of international students. They're really getting hit hard because like it's residence. So like they have to take about like seven classes and that was how I got the inside scoop onto all this. Yeah, it's all about the money, basically. But they have to take seven classes to, like, be able to stay living in New York City. Seven classes in a week is hard just for regular school, but acting is just, like, on a whole different thing. And then you got to take, like, movement classes. You got to take breathing classes and all these things and Shakespeare. And so it's like, you know, everybody's doing what they got to do.
How does your dad deal with you freaking screaming at home all the time?
At first, he was like, I mean, because they were all shocked that I was even acting in general. Like, the fact that, you know, I'm very reserved and all that stuff. And the fact, so I think they just got used to it. Sometimes they don't even hear me, honestly. But there was one where, like, I was playing this guy. I was, like, homeless and all this stuff. And I was getting ready to jump off this bridge. And I'm doing it right here. Like, literally, like, I'm standing right here. And I'm, like, looking over an imaginary bridge. I'm, like, you know, getting myself to that moment where I'm like about to jump and then somebody comes and like starts talking to me like from like college. That's the scene. The final time I did it, like I started almost like hyperventilating, like my fingers were tingling and all this stuff. Yeah, that was when I'm like yelling. So that was like the loudest that they heard. I was like waking up my sister in the room, all this stuff, but they just got to deal with it. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. So this is like almost in your element because you kind of do this daily then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty used to this. Yeah. Rehearsals too.
Yeah, you ever heard of that movie Searching?
No, what was that?
It starred the guy from Harold and Kumar, the Asian guy, John Cho. And the whole movie was basically filmed through a webcam or whatever camera. It's basically from the perspective of any cameras that are around, all the interactions, or it's through like a security camera on the street. I guess you can kind of film a whole movie through Zoom or through a little camera.
Yeah, and a lot of people, like a lot of movies now are being made on the iPhone.
Yeah, I heard, but they had to like exaggerate a lot or like edit it a lot.
Because even like this, you know, when I started like auditioning for certain roles, like I had to get like I got like this tripod now and stuff like that. I got a backdrop.
Oh, that's how you audition now? You got to send a clip in, right?
I think that's going to be like the thing now, like going forward. Like I've been hearing a lot that from other students that I think a lot of these casting agencies are like realizing that it's easier and it saves way more time. So I think like even after everything is done, it's going to be a lot of self-tape. It's nice because it gives you the opportunity to make it how you want. But I was kind of looking forward to like actually going to the rooms and auditioning. I wanted to experience, but I'm sure I will. Yeah, things are going to, you know, change in a bit.
Yeah, it's part of the experience. Don't forget about this point. We'll go back to it. I kind of want to go back to your upbringing. For the people that don't know, you're kind of really good friends growing up in high school, even though we only spent 1 year in high school. 1 year?
Yeah. Yeah, 1 year.
And then we kind of kept in touch.
Yeah.
For some reason, we just hit it off well. But what were you like growing up? Where did you grow up? What was life like?
I grew up right here in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. The only time I moved was right from upstairs to this apartment. I grew up here, and then I grew up a few blocks away at my grandmother's parents' house. My school was on this block. A lot of my upbringing, though, was just basically, I was an only child for 8 years. So the first 8 years up until third grade was just me in this room, pretty much playing with toys, all these things. And I had a big imagination, as all kids do, I feel. The only people that I really hung out with as a kid was like my cousin when he would come over, friends at school. But I never really, you know, my dad, he's really sheltering, overprotective. A lot of my time was spent here, playing with toys, playing video games. I think in general, like playing with toys, I started like building my own worlds and stuff like that, and like little characters and storylines and things like that, influenced by comic books too, in general, without realizing it. I think that helped the ability to act, but you know, just like creating all these people and acting it out in my room, like all these things. Junior high school was kind of like coming out of my shell a bit, up and leading up until eighth grade, and I got interested in video games. You know, I started learning about it more. And that was why that's how I met you. I went to Murrow because I wanted to do video games, and my dad figured I should learn how to draw. Auditioned for the art program, got into it, and quickly realized it wasn't for me. I mean, like, I was in there for like 3 years, but I wasn't like motivated at all. I didn't really know what that was. Like, honestly, acting is pretty much the first thing that I'm really passionate about. But art, like, I think like when I met you on the first day, right? SDF, something like that, right?
Rosario's so, class.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you showed me the MetroCard trick. I think that was like, the very first day of high school. And then I don't know if you remember, but I was on my opta, my free period. I was walking through the lobby. I had known you from that first day, and then I think maybe like 2 weeks had passed and I hadn't seen you. And then like we were both walking through the lobby, and we saw each other, and we remembered each other, and that was how we started hanging out. And then we had art class together and stuff like that.
After I met you, I met this other kid in gym class that looked just like you. Actually, not really, thinking about it now, but he was the same height.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was you, and I just kind of struck up the conversation with him, and we were like matched up for like a whole 2 weeks until I realized that wasn't you. It's kind of crazy. But yeah.
Do you remember his name at all?
No, but I don't know what he was. Russian, Turkish, could be anything, really. Murrow is kind of diverse like that.
It was. But I started getting, like, maybe I think I had about, like, 2 months, maybe 3 months at most, where I actually enjoyed it, art. Because my dad's an artist, too, so it's kind of like it worked. But I don't know, I just didn't have the dedication. I was too lazy back then. I was too, like, you know, I just wanted to bullshit, play video games, all that stuff. So I never was really into it. And then, you know, but we got along and we hung out, and then Rahul, we met through, what was that? Like the teacher that I was really into. And then I remember you were telling me.
Yeah. Miss Ping Ting, English teacher, right. Freshman year.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, freshman year happened. And then I remember the first day of sophomore year, I was like, I was in SES. And I was like, where the f*** is Benjamin at? And then, and then I think I called you, and then you said that you had transferred to LaGuardia and all that. So
I'm so surprised I didn't let you know beforehand. I had no recollection of that.
You got to remember, like, I wasn't even on social media back then.
Oh, right. Only texting.
Texting was like, I had $10 max. Like,
it was like, yeah, exactly. We didn't have free texting. It was like 50 cents per text. We didn't have money for that.
White phone and shit. Yeah, so like the next 2 years, like in high school, just kind of like, I know you know Valicio, right? Yeah, it was me, him. Like, we were really close and all that stuff. We still are. But in terms of art, it was just like, I just slowly got less and less into it. And like, Mr. Rosado was very passionate and all this stuff. And I really didn't understand that at the time. I just thought he was an asshole or something like that. And then eventually, like in senior year, I just left. And then I just finished off high school, went into college for writing, actually.
Yeah, I want to touch up on the art thing a little bit, because I think in high school, a lot of kids are very competitive. It could be sports, and in this case, yeah, it's art. I felt like I was kind of that kid back then, like, oh, I think I know how to draw. So I kind of humbly showing off all the time.
Yeah,
thank you. But I could imagine what that does to other kids who are, you know, don't care as much or like discourages people. But now that you've gone through this whole thing, does art still play a role? Did it help you in any way, or do you see things differently?
I think it's more like I learned from my mistakes kind of thing. Like, I mean, I just genuinely wasn't interested in it. It's nice to reflect on, because now in terms of acting, it's like, I am that competitive now. And in some ways, you got to kind of like bring it back, because like acting is kind of like a different thing a little bit. You could be competitive out there to get a job and everything, but when you're in it, you got to kind of like trust your partner and things like that. But I love art though. Like I love going to the museums. I love like looking at art, and like I like art history. That was like one of my favorite subjects in college. But you mean like in terms of drawing and stuff like that? Like, do I still?
It doesn't have to be, but the fact that you've gone through 2.5, 3 years of art classes, could be the hard work, you know, the amount of challenge that you had to face, and the fact that you've gone through what an artist had gone through, does it shape you in any way compared to if you never had taken those classes at all?
Yeah. Now that you say that, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. When I was in the art program, I was just not. And even now you say the competitive thing, like there were competitive people in there, but I was so in my own. I always felt like I didn't fit into that program that well. Like coming from where I come from and then going there, I had to kind of adjust who I was and kind of play both worlds and stuff like that. But what I was saying was there's competitiveness, but I wasn't really aware of it that much. I just knew like, yeah, that person's good and that person takes it seriously and all that stuff. But in terms of like critiques, that's what I got out of it. Like getting that, like those hard critiques and being able to like not take it personally. Cause I got that from my dad. I got that from Rosado. I got that from the teachers that I had there and all that stuff. And that helped a lot through life. And I noticed like certain people can't, like everybody learns differently. And even in life now you see it, whereas if you're in class or anything, certain people can't take constructive criticism that well. Or they could do it to a certain point and then they just kind of like fold. And it, you know, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes there's roles that I want that, you know, I'm not getting quite. And it's like a little, sometimes you get a little touchy, but for the most part, you know, it's, I think that was the biggest thing that I got out of all that, deal with not always hearing that you're great like that. Yeah.
Really thick in the skin, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense. So you were kind of a nerdy kid, you know, into comic books, video games, growing up into high school. Was it always like that, or you felt like were you a bad kid at one point, or was it always that theme?
I was always myself, you know, weird, like, you know, even though like I was like extremely uncomfortable with who I was at the time, but I never like strayed too far away from who I was. Like even the trends and all that, like the baggy pants and all that shit back in the day, like it was always a limit. Like it was like I adopted some of those traits and the behaviors and stuff like that, but I would never like do something to the point where like I wasn't myself anymore. Like I would see people that would go into high school and they would just be completely different people. Like people that were from my junior high school, like it would completely change. And like, I completely forgot the question now, but the comic books are always a thing. Now I'm kind of not that into comic books anymore because there's not much that I'm like really involved in anymore. But yeah, I was pretty much always that. I was always like that quiet, kind of like mild mannered kid. I always felt like when you get to know me, that's when you really see who I am. I'm not like always like the guy that like everybody looks at, like the obvious person to look at, because I'm not loud or anything like that. I would say, yeah, I feel like I've been pretty steady about all that. Yeah.
You're right about the way you dress. I remember now that it just came back to me. You always had just a plain t-shirt of some sort.
Yeah.
And blue jeans, but not too tight, not too baggy. Just, it's like straight out of a comic book. Yeah, that's like interesting. That. And also, you're right that you're pretty true to yourself. Because I came to the U.S. when I was 12 and the end of sixth grade. So I had end of sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and ninth grade is when I met you. So my English was really bad back then. Going to high school, there was a lot of insecurity, and I kind of just try to make friends and try to fit in. And I think with you was pretty effortless, because I know you don't really judge people. You weren't like a judgmental person, and I think that's why we hit it off so well.
Yeah.
Regarding the art class, even though it was in Brooklyn and it's kind of hood, but you get a lot of artsy fartsy students at the same time, so I don't blame you at all. I thought it was interesting. I just want to point that out.
I always remember, I never forget that bird you drew.
Yes. I don't know if I still have it.
Was that like an ink print that you made?
Yeah, you remember. Wow.
I was like, god damn. I don't know why that always stuck with me.
Yeah, sometimes I surprise myself with these artwork. That's why I kind of want to go back to it to see what I can make. I do remember in art classes, you talked a lot about funny movies, and so you kind of had that interest ever since high school. When going into college, were you always the same person? And did your interests play any role in your development? Did that kind of transition into your acting career into college?
Good question. College was more about like I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Acting wasn't even the thing that I thought about. Even like Murrow was a theater school, and I never thought to ever try that. It was always something that I knew I could do. Like I felt that I could do rather, but like I was too scared to do that. Going into college was more about writing and just kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I got into like writing music a little bit, and then I kind of stopped really quick. And no, not really. The movies really didn't play much. The movies were more from my dad. Like growing up, he would take me to the theaters and all that. And like I would see movies that I wasn't supposed to see because of my age. But I was able to see, you know, I always loved watching movies because I went to BMCC for 2 years, community college in the city. And that was actually pretty good. I liked that. And that was for writing. And then I transferred to Brooklyn College for the next 2 years. And it wasn't until like my last year that it was 2014. No, my junior year, well, my third year. I had gotten my first job that summer heading into that. And then I had been thinking about like what I wanted to do. And acting was kind of something that kept coming in and out. But I was like too, you know, I was like, maybe I'll, you know, the nerves and all that stuff. And then I had a job at CVS for 2 days. I quit because I didn't like it. And right after that, I signed up for my first acting class, and I had it for, so that would be the fall semester. That was at a school in 34th Street called the Barrow Group. So it was outside of college. I wasn't taking acting classes in college. It was a whole different school.
Interesting.
Yeah, once I did that, it took about 5 weeks. Because there's certain people that like, in acting where like, there's naturals and then there's people that don't get it. So they'll either overact or they'll just be like talking like this all the time and just dead like a robot kind of thing. For me, it was like I knew I had something in there. Like I'd be talking like this at home. But then when I get in front of people, it would be terrible because I was nervous. And then it was just like 1 week. I think it was like 5 weeks in where I just told myself, just do what you do here and then it'll be fine. I went into class and I did that. And ever since then, it was just like the fear went away. And it's actually like, sometimes I feel more comfortable on stage than I do in regular life. It actually made me like I just wanted college to go because that's all I wanted to do. College was kind of just like it was a nice experience. Maybe state college would have been better, but it was all right. Real school is acting school for me, yeah.
So at that point where you made the decision to sign up for your first class, what triggered you to do that? What made you make that decision? Was it courage? Was it like fear that you have to do it now? What was it?
I knew I had to do something. Like I had gotten my first job at Target in Flatbush and I hated it. And then, you know, like, I don't know if you've had that, if you work retail where you like start working and then you start seeing people that are older than you working. And not to judge because everybody needs a job, but it's like, I can't imagine myself doing that. Like being, you know, having to live off of this. So then that's kind of when the wheel started turning a little bit. And then I had quit that job when I started the new semester in college. I got my second. It was just something that I wanted to do because it was like, it's kind of a funny story, but like, have you ever seen Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, with Andrew Garfield.
Not a great movie, but I was watching it and there was a scene at the end when the guy turns into like the main bad guy, the Green Goblin, and he confronts Peter Parker and all this stuff. And the guy's name is Dane DeHaan, the actor. And he's actually very good. And he just said this line, you just look at me. So he's like confronting Spider-Man and all this stuff. And he just says, look at me. But it was like with this smile on his face. But there was so much behind that. Like he was smiling, but it wasn't like he wasn't happy about it. It was just so much that I could tell that the actor had to put behind that. And I just felt like I could do that. And then it was just a matter of doing it. So it would just kind of bled into the fall where it was just like, I remember my mom was like, why don't you just do it for the winter? For some reason, she wanted me to push it off. And in my head, I was like, if I don't do it now, I know I'm never going to do it because I'm going to be too afraid. So I just did it. And then it was just about going. I remember I even thought about maybe not going and just acting like I did because I was so scared. But then I was like, that, I'm just going. So it was a lot of that. It was because the interest and it was like getting over that fear. I just knew I had to do something. And that was like the one thing that I felt that I would be interested in.
Those jobs that are not suitable for you, the fact that you said you've gone through writing, you've gone through music, you've gone through all those things. You're like, nope, this is the thing. Got to get it out of the way. Find out if it's for you or not. What made you know for sure that you have something in you, though?
Because it's totally different now, like in terms of what acting actually is for me, but like, and what it really is. But like going into it, I kind of just figured, you know, acting is just like, you're just doing what we're doing right now. You know, you're just talking. So that was kind of like always the approach I had when I would kind of flirt with it in my head. It was like, oh, if I was an actor, I'd just talk like this. I don't know. Honestly, it might just be something that the way I am. Like, I kind of knew. It was like when I started music, I always felt like I could do it. I just didn't know how to do it. I don't know. It's just something in me that I really honestly, I don't know. I mean, it might have been the toys maybe, but I don't think I consciously felt like there was something specific that I like knew that's why I could do it. It just felt like if I just let go and get over the fear of being in front of people, if I'm just like this, which is not really acting, is not that at all. But like at the time, it's like if I could just do this, I feel like I could do it.
So you kind of want to just push through that boundary and see what comes out on the other end.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean, but like it was just something that I just never really thought that I would be. I took a drama class in 8th grade and I didn't do anything. I was too nervous to do anything. I just sat and watched people do stuff. And I think it was just also too, yeah, like just fighting through that boundary and just saying, just do it. If you really, this is like, you know, the last thing that you feel like you want to do, just go. Don't be afraid.
That leads me to another question. You've seen actors that don't get famous till like maybe in their 30s, 40s, 50s. Maybe they wanted to be play a young role ever since they were 19, but then they got a role when they're 50, playing a grandpa or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the timeline? Do you feel rushed? Do you feel like you have to find something now?
I feel like I do have that sense, and I again, like I don't. I mean, I know I'm skilled in it because I've been learning technique, but I do have that sense that I just know something will happen. But I think I feel more rushed because of the pandemic right now. Like lately, specifically, I've been like applying for roles. The feeling of like not being able to do it because you can't. You know, like this was always going to be the summer that I was going to start. I think I told you that last time I saw you. Like, I had gotten my headshots right after I saw you, like a month after. I was getting ready for the summer to be the time where it was like I was going to set everything up. And then this happened. So once you get over the initial shock and fear of all this stuff happening, it's just like, well, now I got to like work. And like, I feel more pressure because of that. Not because of my age or anything like that. It's more because of this pandemic. I'm just sitting in front of Zoom all the time, you know? And it's like, God, like I missed the school first off. That was like my biggest thing. Fridays, every Friday was class. And I loved it. First time I loved school ever. But usually those people that are like old and they get famous, like those are usually like the best actors. Like they've been working consistently. The fact that, you know, so they've got people that like become actors when they're young and they're terrible. They're just really good looking or some shit like that. Like they have something that they could bank on to make money off of. As long as I can make a living off this and doing what I love, I'm fine. I would say to answer your question directly, yeah, the pressure is more because of I can't do it because of this.
But at the same time, you would be okay with that route of never being famous, maybe just barely living by and eventually get what you deserve much later on. You'd be okay with that route?
Yeah, I would put in the work for that. Yeah, it was just, you know, like, I mean, I could be talking some shit right now about the famous life and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like that shit would drive me crazy. As long as I'm doing something that I could live off of it, yeah, I'm fine. Like, no matter what, like, as long as, you know, if I have to struggle for a while, I'll do that for sure.
Now that you're kind of all into acting, is it anything different from what you expected before going in?
Yeah. This is actually my second go at acting too, but I didn't really realize how much of yourself you put into it. I always say like you got to be kind of crazy to want to be an actor, because it's like on the surface level you're kind of making yourself feel these emotions in front of people that you're not necessarily feeling. It's just like you're feeling it in the moment, but you know I'm not that character. That's like on the surface level, but like deeper, and I kind of learned this a little later on last year, where it's like you actually start learning more things about yourself in front of people, which is even nuts. It's even crazier. It's like, whereas I feel like maybe if I was working a regular job, I would be through experience, like hanging out with friends or like, you know, going to bars or doing all these things, I'd be learning about myself through experiences. But it's like this forces you to like dig in yourself and kind of like confront areas that we all don't want to go to, like as humans, you know, like there's the, like, you know, if you keep improving, keep growing, there's naturally things that you leave behind because, oh, that's not useful anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. But this is like, you got to go back there and find that and like get it out there and be open to like revealing that to people. Like right now, I'm kind of like, I mean, the semester we have 3 weeks off, but going back into it, I got to kind of be like this really confident, boisterous dude. Like he's just like all show. And I've never been like that. So it's like, there's a lot of characters that you can play that like have, they could be like the extreme of who you are on the other end. But like, there's always little things that you could pull and then like expand on. I think of myself as a good person, but I know I've been a terrible person at times. And you could take that and make it so you could play a character that's just a horrible person. And I didn't even realize that at all going into acting at all. Even when I acted years ago, I didn't realize that at all.
Channeling, so that's something that brings life to the character. How far is too far and how far should you go? How far can and should you go? Because, you know, you hear actors like, you know, they kind of embody the whole role for a whole year, a whole 6 months.
Yeah.
Is that the right approach to things?
Well, that's the terms of technique. So like the technique that I'm learning is called the Hagen method. What you're talking about is kind of like the method approach where like you actually become the character all through and through. Like you have to. And a lot of these methods too are kind of similar. They all kind of revolve around putting yourself into the character, but using you at the same time. And from my philosophy that they're teaching, it's kind of more of that. The idea is that you never really lose yourself. And you're only doing scenes. So, you know, it's not like we're doing whole plays or anything like that, but we're just picking out scenes and like 20-minute scenes or something like that. But yeah, there are times that like a lot of like last year, I was playing a lot of dramatic roles and like a lot of like things that kind of bring you down. So yeah, you could kind of get lost in that a little bit. Like you kind of start living that character. I notice sometimes like a lot of the times when I get these characters, there's like a little part of that in my normal life that I kind of adopt some of that character for some reason without even thinking about it. And then when I'm done with it, it kind of just gets left behind. I would say an unhealthy amount is like when you're really, I mean, I felt that before last year where I was just constantly working on the character and it never felt like enough. Like that was the most where it was like, no matter what I did, even though I wasn't being lazy, if I took like maybe 20 minutes off, I would feel like, what the f- am I doing? Why am I not working? Da, da, da. And I think the balance is like being able to kind of get to that place when you need to in terms of work, get into that place where you need to when you perform, and then being able to bring it back once you're done. Like not holding it on the pain of that character or anything like that once you're done.
But what you said is for like, you know, like you said, 20-minute scenes and clips. I start noticing these things when I watch Wolf of Wall Street, Catch Me If You Can by Leo DiCaprio. I'm sure he can't help but walk around sometimes feeling like he did all those things.
Yeah, I'm surprised, yeah.
Even though he didn't. I guess, well, what's your take on the whole thing? Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Should he do that? Because I'm sure you kind of need some of that too, right?
Yeah, it depends on like who you are. It's a weird thing where it's like you kind of enjoy being in those moments. You know, like it's kind of like similar to how like the news gives you a lot of negative stories. So you kind of watch it more kind of like that. Like it sucks when you're in those moments, but you kind of like being in that shit. I would say like I feel like it's a risk you got to take at times too. Like I could see myself doing that. Like if I really had to play a role that was like that deep or whatever, I would be willing to do that. I don't know where it would lead, but if you really love what you're doing, I don't know. You don't really think about it when you're doing it. It's just kind of like, this is what I got to do. And it's like, you don't even think about that. It's just like, you just do it. If I ever had to play the Joker, which, you know, I wouldn't really want to do, but like, if I ever had to, like, I would just dive all the way into that.
That's very interesting. It's kind of like Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale, how they torture their body.
That's what I wonder about, like, yeah, in terms of the body stuff, that's what I kind of like. I wonder how I would do that. Like, because sometimes, like, these people got to, like, lose pounds fast or, like, gain muscle fast or whatever, be fat fast. It's like that I wonder about because I've never, you know, maybe if the script is really amazing or something, I would. But in terms of, like, being a character, yeah. But in terms of, like, the weight stuff, that I would still have to, like, wait and see, I guess, when I get there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think if you ever got a role like that, you're the person that would go all the way through. Just because even if a movie might not be great, I feel like your legacy could last, you know? Sometimes you're like, oh yeah, that movie sucks, but that character's acting is on point. You hear things like that.
That's a weird thing too, with like all this like student films. Like it's kind of like, so far, I'm still kind of like learning how to like, what is good to apply for and stuff like that. Like all these, I don't know if you ever heard of like Death of a Salesman. You ever heard of that play? It's like a classic play. Like, you know, you get like, you go from class where you're getting these classic plays to learn from. And then you go on these student films and it's kind of like, whoa, that's a, you get like a very quick plot description. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess. And then you just apply for it and you don't even know if it's going to be good. You know, you just got to do it just to get in kind of thing. It's a wild world out there, man. I'm learning.
Are these the type of plays that they do it at like a I don't know, a school performance, and then some of the famous actors could show up. We've been to one that was like an off-Broadway show, and then something Sheen, Michael Sheen. I don't know
Oh
if you know
yeah,
him.
yeah.
Yeah, he showed up, and we actually got a picture with him.
Wait.
But he was there to scout people, I guess, or he was there to watch a show, and all the students were like really nervous and being so ready for it. These plays that you kind of audition and try out for, is it to get recognized and hopefully get spotted?
I think eventually, yeah. I mean, I never auditioned for a play yet. I think honestly, I think the first thing is to, yeah, like just to get the job. And then once you get the role, you gotta like do the work and then, yeah, be ready. I think, yeah, you would kind of hope that, yeah, maybe somebody's in the crowd. And I think a lot of people do get noticed like that. Like people that go from Broadway or off Broadway to films, it's usually like somebody saw them or heard about the review and then saw them and then like they get noticed. Yeah.
Any crazy stories from acting?
No, I do. Yeah, I have a lot. I mean, one of the great, well, I think in terms of accomplishment, which was great, was that we, like early on, I was able to do one of my scenes. A couple of students were able to do their scenes in front of like a group of people that were basically just watching our class. It wasn't like we were performing like a professional performance. It was just almost like people were observing how we hold class. And it was at the Lincoln Center Library. And that was last year, March or April. And that felt really good. It went really well. And that was like one of the biggest things that I've done. In terms of crazy though, there's always, I mean, I'm sure you know you're an artist. There's always, artists are just weird. You get used to it. That's another thing from art class that I learned. It's just weird people. But man, there was a dude. I don't mean to talk shit, but there was this guy, I'm not gonna mention names, but that was doing a scene that I had seen many times played before very well. And this, you know, he's doing his thing. He's not that good or whatever. But basically, let's say, like, if he had a line that would have a shape in it, like a word, like it didn't even have to be a shape. It could be like, you know, he was a detective. He's talking about his star witness, or like if he's talking, and just in general, I don't even think he needed a shape. So, like, when he would say star witness, he would start tracing a star for no reason. He would start talking in his lines. He would start writing like a square or something like that, or like a circle. And on top of that, he wasn't doing that great. So it's like kind of like you're sitting there and you're just kind of watching and you're trying to be respectful, but you're trying to hold in the laugh and all that stuff. I think at the one point, just like the teacher, who was usually amazing at not doing that, started laughing at the last day. I guess she said, screw it. There's a lot of like, I would say the craziest stuff is usually just watching other people do stuff and just seeing like transformations, really, of like how people can transform. I think for me, it's like, you know, sometimes I don't know, I don't really, because you're not really aware of what you're doing up there when you're in the moment, but the transformations are usually like the craziest thing.
This transformation thing, right? Like in LaGuardia, and I'm sure in Merrill too, we could name some. Like, I don't know if you remember this kid name. You hear a lot of really dramatic kids, you know, because in LaGuardia, you're all divided by majors: art, music, ballet, drama, instrument. I don't know, all the other stuff. If you're a drama kid, a lot of kids they have to come off as very dramatic, flamboyant, very loud, you know, all the time. Do those people become better actors? Is that necessary? Is it just a front they have to put up to show people that they're actors? What
I
do you
think
think?
there's just a front. I think in terms of, yeah, it depends on the work. Like, how do you work? If you do the work at home, like it's easy to be present on stage and then go home. And there's a lot of loud people that they go on stage and they're not great because they're not doing the work, or they want to do it their way. Like, you got to like trust the process too. You know, that's another thing. Like, when you go into these conservatories, you're kind of learning a technique. So the idea of wanting to bring your own thing into it is not the right way. Or if you went to another school, yeah, certain things apply technique wise, but you got to learn this technique. You know, it's not like, oh, but this one worked for me. If that one worked, then you could do that. But you got to like kind of just surrender yourself. For me, honestly, I find that a lot of the people that are really good are like people like me, like shyer people. Like, because I notice for me, it gives me kind of more of a freedom to like let things out that I wouldn't do in normal life. And there's certain people that are more socially awkward than most that are in the class, and you see them performing, they're like so big. So I think in terms of the loud, yeah, you could be loud and be really good, but you got to do the work. Like, as long as you do the work, that's what really counts. In terms of personality, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's almost like a team sport, like a basketball team. You want to shine, but at the same time, you have to play with the team. You have to do well with the team.
Yeah.
It's like a Kawhi Leonard. You want to be that guy, I guess.
It's a balance.
Yeah, and it's good to know because you see, like Tom Cruise, Hugh Jackman. I love Hugh Jackman. When you see them get interviewed on TV, like they're the nicest people. Maybe I don't know, Tom Cruise is a little weird, but you saw that whole Tom Cruise thing?
The rant, right?
Yeah. You think that's real or
No,
staged?
that's real. Because that guy, I think that's like the only movies he's making now. Like, he really, that shit matters, I think. And he goes all out.
But you know, on I listened to a Joe Rogan clip. They said he might have leaked it, you know, as a way to promote the movie too. You never
Yeah.
know. Yeah. But you know, whatever it is, it's got some good publicity, I would say. Yeah, it's cool to see these really crazy characters when they're actually in their real person getting interviewed. They're like very normal, very cool. So I respect actors like that. Like you don't have to put up a front all the time, you know, just keep it on the screen, keep it with the work. You don't have to do that all the time.
There are a lot of like personalities, though. You got to kind of like learn how to deal with certain. It's like bullshitters. It's people that, you know, there are those. Yeah. Luckily, I've kind of had a good track record. I've had very good partners. Some that kind of like go the wrong way, but they end up kind of like coming around and it works. I haven't had really terrible partners. There's some people that get really bad partners a lot.
Does it make you look better though when you get a bad partner?
Nah. I mean, like, I recently, honestly, like, I just got over having not a great partner, but it doesn't work like that. Like, you think it would. It helps you like focus more because it's like if you're working with somebody that, and that was something that I just got over, right? Like probably a few weeks ago, where it was like, I'm dealing with this guy that's just not really giving me anything. And that's the whole thing about acting, to kind of compare it to a tennis match. So like the way I'm giving you something and then you're responding, and then I don't know what you're gonna say now, but you're gonna say something and then I'm gonna respond. That's kind of how it is. So when you're not getting something from that person, it's like naturally for me, it's like, yeah, this is obvious. I'm not getting anything, but like, what am I not doing? Like, there has to be something that I'm not doing. And I realized that I had to really, because this guy, and he was very robotic. Like, I just was not, it wasn't like the overacting thing. It was just like, he was just not there. He just thought he was doing stuff, but he wasn't. And I really had to focus on everything that he was doing and kind of like just live in that moment. Because a lot of the things that I was doing in the beginning was like, let's say I would say my line, and then let's say you're saying your line, and I would just kind of like freeze. And then he would say something, and then so I was like, I can't do that. I gotta like still live in between those breaks, because if not, then it's just gonna be like, no, this is not gonna work. The better you look, honestly, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but you look better when you have like a really good partner. I used to think like that though, when I started acting. I used to want to like outperform my partners and everything. That was totally wrong way of thinking about it.
Man, it's crazy how this creating win-win situation and everything applies to life, right? Even in acting, even in competitive acting, I would say. So what's the immediate next step for you, and what is the long-term goal, ideally?
Well, the next step for me is to keep applying for roles. As of now, I want to start taking, when everything gets back to normal, I want to start taking, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but like higher up classes just to get a different feel for like a different teacher while taking the one that I am. Possibly getting involved in, like, my school has like their own little theater, and they have people that they're creating their own works. I don't know if they're making, because I don't know any of these people, but I don't know if they're like making their own plays and doing it, or they're taking plays that already exist and performing them. But getting involved in that and just having more people around me that love doing what I do, that's kind of a goal. Applying for roles, getting experience, and just getting out there, getting used to like failing, getting used to just, you know, getting the role that I want or whatever. And then the long-term goal is to be a successful actor and be good. Like, I want to be like the best actor that I could be. And whether that means, because that's the thing too, I started noticing, like, ever since I started acting, a lot of the people that you see in a bunch of movies, but they're not the biggest star in the movie, those are usually the guys that you find out are like teachers and shit like that. You know, like they're teaching the people that you think are really good or something like that. Like the fact that, like, the guy Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, like, that guy's been working since the 90s. He was on Seinfeld, like, you know, on that small role. And then now he's been doing a lot. He's a really great actor. So I'm fine with that. Like, you know, I don't need.
Funny you brought him up, yo, because just today at work I was on YouTube and I was just watching Breaking Bad scenes.
Actually, never saw it.
And I was watching the scene where he's like, get out of my territory or something.
He's bald already or no?
Yeah, he was bald. He was kind of scary. Like he was in Home Depot or whatever store buying all the equipment. He saw someone in a shopping cart buying the same thing. Yeah, and he just like, I'm like, wow, imagine staring at that guy in the face.
I hear that's amazing. Yeah, man. Yeah. So you know, that would be my long-term goal, just to like set a career down with this. That would be great. I would love to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, man, and you're all in. So there's, as long as you give it everything, I don't think there's any regret in this.
I agree.
I got some random but not so random questions. Just answer however you like. We had these kind of weird conversations before, but do you think people are inherently good? It's not that weird. I'm not asking the weird questions. We're
Okay.
gonna keep that off air.
Inherently good, you mean like from birth kind of thing? Like when you're a kid?
Sure. perspective, it's like people say, yeah, people are always good. You know, when it comes down to it, we always help people. Or some people say, hey, we're born sinners in a religious perspective. So what's your take on it?
I think we naturally know what's good or not, like when we're young. And then as you get older, you start learning what's good, depending on how you're up, you know, your upbringing and all that. I think in terms of like, it's weird. I don't know if this sounds odd, but like the best people I know are the people that are good people, but they know that sometimes they do bad shit and they admit it. You know, it's not like you're trying to act like you're, oh no, I don't do that. I would never do that. And that's the thing with acting too. You got to like accept those moments too. But like for me personally, it's like, yeah, I look at myself as I'm a very good person. And I'm lucky for my upbringing. That definitely helped. But yeah, sometimes I, you know, steal shit. I don't know. You know, like little things like that. You know, I just do things that aren't morally right, or, you know, and then you reflect on it. How about you? What do you think?
I guess the younger me would say, yeah, people are inherently good. But now I think they're not. But people could choose to be good. It's almost like a muscle. It's easier for some people to be good. But inherently, I think everyone is bad or evil. It's like you see a lot of good in the world, but right? But at the same time, you could say, oh, man, like how much good is there in the world?
Really? Yeah, it's easier to say that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a lot easier to focus on the negatives than the positive. It's like you got it's a lot more work. It's harder to do that. I think it's a lot easier to be kind of like negative or like live in those moments. Or
and even like the countries we live in, like right now we live in a great country. But imagine you're anywhere else. You just throw that on the map. You could land in a very bad part of the world, you know, easily. It's very easy to lose perspective, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, people know it too. It's almost like a habit, I think.
Yeah, naturally. Christian Miranda, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Oh, you asshole.
How tall are you?
No, you're not.
I'm not?
You're 5'5".
Really? Everybody tells me 5'6". All the doctors say, well, maybe you're 5'6".
I'm 5'5½". I'm going to say it right now for the record. But at least you didn't say 5'7".
5'10", bro. 5'10".
Yeah, man, you have no idea. Because we're like almost the same height or exactly the same height, and you have no idea how many people with our height say they're 5'7".
Yeah, I've had those friends too. They say I'm 5'8 or some shit. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Look at them. You're wearing Tim's 24.
How much do you weigh by any chance?
Right now, I'm like 145, yeah, 144.
Yeah, like kind of 147-ish, yeah.
That's like our natural weight, you know. It always comes down to that.
I'm not mad at it though, man. I used to be like kind of like shitting on myself about that height thing, but now I'm good. I don't mind.
Oh, the height? Yeah. Yo, high school was tough though. It was especially tough for me, but I don't think it was a big deal to you. At least you didn't show it.
What happened with, like, in LaGuardia?
LaGuardia or Murrow. It's like, man, the Asian kid, you know, kind of short. Yeah. And all the kids are huge in high school.
Yeah.
They're not huge. At least they work out a lot to compensate for
it. You still find it crazy that you're not in Murrow? Oh, well. I guess LaGuardia for you because you went to Murrow for 1 year.
Do I find it crazy?
Yeah. Or is it like normal? Like when you think about like the layout of the school, the how many times you walk through certain hallways and things like that.
Yeah. Murrow is it's very special. At least that 1 year that I was there with the quarters. Because afterwards they had the half a year, right? Yeah. And Opta where you have lunch as early as like 8:30 in the morning. And they actually serve lunch 8:30 in the morning. Yeah. And then you have the kids from the hood, you have the basically kids from every race. It's a Jewish neighborhood. There's Asian, Russians, Hispanics, Blacks.
LaGuardia, how is it in comparison?
Oh, LaGuardia is very artsy fartsy for sure. Good thing is that it's like 75% girls or 80%, I would say. And out of the 20% guys or 25, close to half or at least a third of them are gay. Yeah, but it didn't really make a difference for me back then, but I'm just,
yeah.
But to some people, it's a great school, but it's very safe, and you get a whole 2 to 3 hours a day sometimes just to do your craft if you're into that. It's special for sure. You're going through the art program in Murrow. I don't regret it a bit.
Yeah, I would agree.
But high school, you know, high school is kind of crappy for everybody anyway.
Fucking weird, man. Did you ever have to go to Lincoln Center at all? Like since you were near there?
The time we go there is just more to hang out. But we did go there for a church performance, like a church thing, filming thing.
That's what I have to start doing for acting. Apparently, they have like a really good library for that, where you could watch like all these Broadway performances of these plays and stuff like that. I never took advantage of it before the pandemic, but now I'm going to start once everything gets back to normal. Yeah.
My girlfriend, before the pandemic, we used to go to like a lot of Broadway shows and off-Broadway shows. Like somehow she got them like really cheap or free. So maybe when it gets back to normal, we could go on some of those too.
That'd be amazing. I remember wanting to do that too. There was West Side Story. There was a lot that I wanted to see before. Yeah,
Who is your favorite actor, and who? What's one actor you want to be like?
Okay, to answer like the second one, kind of answer it. I think one of my biggest influences in terms of like that I kind of see similarities with this person is Marlon Brando. Have you heard of him?
No, I'm gonna look it up. Marlon what?
Marlon Brando. You ever heard of The Godfather?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the Vito Corleone in the first movie. He's considered like probably the greatest actor ever.
So I should know him, huh? Damn.
Yeah, you watch him. He's something else.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I know. Kiss the Ring.
Yeah, yeah. And when he was young too, because I had known him so long from the Godfather thing, and then I recently started watching his younger performances and how much like energy he brought. And then when you hear him talk, it's like he's just a kind of like very intelligent dude. I kind of expected him to be a little off or something, because usually when you're that good, there's something like, usually, I don't know, I feel like there's always going to be, but he seems very, he passed away a while ago, but I would say that. And in terms of like who I want to be like, I don't really have that. I would say my favorite actor is definitely Denzel Washington. That guy is
stud,
something else, man. And every role, it's like he sounds, even when he does crappy movies now.
Oh yeah, the action movies.
But yeah, I guess it's just that time in his career. I don't know. He just needs the money, maybe, or something. And just does it for the. I think that comes too. Like, there's a lot of actors that, like, when they get older, they want to do something else, so they just do this movie to get money and then do that. I don't know if that's what he's doing, but yeah, that guy is just amazing, man. Every time I see him, like, in a performance, he just sounds. It doesn't even describe it right. He sounds intelligent in all his roles, and it's like. That's not the right way to say it, but there's something about every role. He just, you could tell he just knows what he's saying as that character. It's crazy. It's just the way he speaks, this voice, all that shit. It's just.
Yeah, it's like almost his own genre. He can't really replicate it.
And it's a bit,
and he's like really smart off camera too, like in person.
That's the thing too. Yeah. It's like you said, like certain things relate, like in life. Like you got to be somewhat intelligent to be great at something that you want to do. You could be stupid and be good at stuff, but you're never going to be like where you want to be if you're like not all there.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that foundation is pretty important. What's your favorite neighborhood?
That's a good question. That's a good question, Ben.
Give me one that's not Bushwick or Williamsburg.
Yeah, it's definitely not mine.
oh, okay. I know you got pride in your Puerto Rican.
I mean, my favorite borough is definitely Manhattan by far, but my favorite, man, I would say probably the West Village. That is where my school is now, and I've had a lot of time to kind of just traverse that. It's so different from the rest of the city, and even Brooklyn now, because Brooklyn's kind of like Manhattan, basically. It's just so calm, and it's right next to the water, and like, yeah, and it's like all the streets are kind of like complete, you know how like most streets in the city are just straight and down, these have like angles and things like that, like there's all these little nooks that you could find. I would say that, yeah, but a lot of Manhattan, pretty much like all, like I like the Upper West Side a lot. Upper East Side's okay. I love Central Park, even though it's not a neighborhood, but Tribeca. Mm-hmm. Like Lower East Side's okay.
What's something you hear that I can never phrase this question right? What's something that makes you roll your eyes every time you hear it?
Can you give me some examples though?
I guess some like kind of generic. I don't want you to say that. It's like, oh, I can't do it. Be like, oh, don't say that. You know, like you can do it.
Yeah, that is one.
Could be something you hear every day acting school.
These people that don't wear the masks is really annoying. That's like they get headaches from wearing the masks or something like that, or like I can't breathe. I work out wearing masks. Like I don't understand that, but.
That's tough, man. I don't know how you do that.
Really? I just wear the blue one. It's very, like, I mean, I don't do, like, that heavy lifts or anything like that, but.
Because my girlfriend lives in Jackson Heights. And when I visit, I use their gym. And I'm, like, I wait till, like, no one goes in there. So I don't have to wear the mask completely.
Really?
Yeah. Man, I'm just so not used to it. But everywhere I go, I do wear it, though.
Do you have any, like, conditions at all?
No, it's just, it's like in the gym, you kind of want to go hard. But it could be the mask, too.
That's the thing, too. I'm learning about working out, too. It's kind of like. That idea of going hard is actually not the best thing to do. Like you could like look into that too. It's like I'm still learning. There's a lot of new things that I'm kind of learning about in terms of working out and how to be safe for like longevity purposes and stuff like that.
No, I definitely hear some truth in that because everything is kind of balance. Do you have any hidden talents?
I mean, I learned how to write music a few years ago. I taught myself how to write to a beat and all that. Yeah, that's definitely something.
That's cool.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, I could hold my own if somebody gave me a song. I have a really good memory when it comes to lines. Like, I don't really have to memorize my lines. It just kind of like comes to me as I read it over and over again, or in rehearsals, really. Certain, I have a really good memory of faces, too. I don't know if you're like that. Like, sometimes, honestly, like, I'm at work, I'll see a face and like kind of like, I know I saw that person. A lot of the time it's from Merle. I never even knew that person. It was just that I just got used to their face or whatever, or like something in here. Just like, or something, I'll see somebody and it'll remind me of somebody that I've forgotten even existed or something like that. Sometimes like, I have a shit memory with certain things. Sometimes I have a really good.
It kind of feels like everything is kind of coming in full circle for you. Cause I hope the music thing that you put time into will pay one day and be useful in your music, and your memory is definitely serving now, so that's good.
I think so too, yeah.
If you could retire tomorrow, what will you be doing?
Chef.
Really?
Yeah, I wanna, that's kind of like in my thing, in my bucket list, I guess. Like, whenever I can, if I can afford actual culinary school, doing that shit. I really wanna learn how to do that, like, well, like from the basics. Cause I can't cook for shit right now. I mean, I can make like some eggs and bacon or something like that, or like an omelet, or, you know. But I don't know. I just find it.
What kind of food, though?
Italian. I love Italian. But all things, like, you know, I love those shows where like people could go around and just eat. Like, they go to different countries and stuff like that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but that's all the questions I have. You have anything you want to bring up? Anything you want to say to your future kids?
My future kids.
This episode might not get famous. This podcast might not get famous, but maybe it will be fun to look back on.
Never give up. My future kids, shit, man. Just, I would say to my future kids, honestly, is that one thing that I'm learning in life is that even as hard as life can be and all these things, and as shitty as it could be and all these moments that, like, when you're going through it and things that I'm going through now with this pandemic, all this stuff, like, at the end of the day, there'll be a day where you look back and you'll know why that happened. Like, you know, everything happens for a reason kind of thing. Like, I never used to really put any weight into that statement. This last year, 2019, I really started realizing, like, all the stuff that happened from the end of high school until then happened for a reason. And like, I wouldn't be who I was last year without all that. And now I'm starting over. So now it's like, I'm by the 2030, I'll be someone because of what we're doing right now, or like all this stuff that's going on with the pandemic. Like, I wouldn't be that person without this. So trust the process.
Trust the process. Amen. I have a funny feeling we might watch back or listen back to this many years down the line.
No, I hope so, man. Really, on the big screen too.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate you following up to do this, because I know I asked you like.
Yeah, I felt really bad. It was just a lot of. I mean, it was laziness too, but a lot of shit was going on with my mental.
No, but that's what I respect about you. You know, you actually follow up on your word. You know, it's kind of rare now, especially, but I appreciate that.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.
And there you have it. That's Christian Miranda. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and see you on the next one. Peace.